But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Watchmen, what of the night? Can you tell us where we are? If you therefore will not watch, then you will not know in what hour your Lord doth come. The Lord is coming. He said so. It is the very foundation, the very backbone, the very substantial proof that the Word of God is the Word of God, and that God is. Our mailing address for your letter of support, your questions and your comments, you just address your letter to The Overcomer, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, Walterboro. That's Walterboro, South Carolina. And the zip code is 29488. USA. When you write, always tell us what station or frequency you're listening to and write today. I was just thinking a little bit ago, and of course, we'll try to talk about so many things that's here in front of me. As we are beginning this month of April, and we are going to be going into the Passover season, which is the first time of God promising to visit his people, the times of visitation, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. The last day or two, I have been overwhelmed with the marking of the last hour. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. That's what we are told. And that's what has been magnified so much. What you have, my friends, with these ministers and preachers and all of these procrastinators telling us that we don't know the day and the hour, and we won't know, and it's not intended for us to know. What you have is you have people who are willingly ignorant that by the word of God, Jesus Christ came the first time. And by the same word, he's coming the second time and the last time, the first and the last. There could not be a last if there was not a first. There could not be the ending of faith if faith did not have a beginning. There could not be the author or the finisher of faith if you didn't have the one. The beginning of all these things denotes the ending. I've said that hundreds of times. Most Christianity in the last 2,000 years has spoken about beginnings, beginnings, beginnings. This prophet comes on the scene and magnifies and talks about the end, the end, the end, the end. When shall these things be, Lord, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. Well, now, 4,000 years it had been prophesied and projected that Christ would come. 2,000 years ago he came. From that point on, it had been prophesied and projected. It had been the hope of the very faith of God in Christ that he would come again. It is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me, I need to try to get to the conclusion of what we were talking. God has marked, or he's identified each season. For instance, he told us, and help me, Father, to say this in a way that the people of God will hear me. He said the end would come like travail. Like travail cometh upon a woman with child. When travail comes, the woman cannot prevent the birth of the child. Once the travail starts, she now prepares herself for the intensity of the travail. And we have what they call labor pains. Labor pains. And the pains start out with just a little sharpness here, last a few seconds, and then they increase. And it's amazing because they increase and they get closer and closer together. So you can tell how near you are to the birth by the intensity of the pain and by the closeness of the labor pain. And then all at once, your labor's over. Now it's on its way, and the final push or the final convulsion takes place. And the Bible even tells you that once a woman goes through that, seems like she's going to die almost. But once the child is born and the labor stops, she rejoices and forgets what she went through just about. Unless she sits down and recollects and recalls, the joy of having the child overwhelms the pain and the suffering of bearing the child. This is the way the Apostle Paul talked about it when he said the sufferings of this travail that we're going through, this agony as we're going through to bring forth the man-child, the manifestation of God in man. He says it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that once the man-child and once the child is in the presence of the Father and the, comforted by the Mother, the Holy Spirit, you don't even compare the suffering you went through with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, the watchman, what of the night? I tried to explain to you people in the last several segments of programming that the Lord Jesus Christ told us that the night would come when no man would work. See, that's why you people kick at me when I tell you that your work is done. You're not going to impress God with your great soul-winning adventures or your building of your churches and your fine religious programs. These are your Cain offerings, and they are unacceptable to God. It's not by any works. This day is the work of God. That's why this prophet keeps telling you that I'm not doing this. This is not the work of a man. This is the work of God. To build his church, to have his people, it's the work of God and God alone. Men have built houses of worship and tabernacles of praise and abominable places that they call houses of God in defiance of what God said, that God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. So all your fine church buildings out here, your St. Peter Basilica, your Washington Cathedral, your glamorous forms of worship, they are a stench in the nostrils of God. And the church world today has become a total mess. Knowest thou not, he said, that you are wretched with all your good works? You are only going to be saved through the mercy of God and the work of God being wrought in you or in me in the house of God. Well, let me see, Father, how do I go? Where do I go from here? The marking of this generation, the watchmen were of the night. You have to get a measure of time. And I told you, I repeated in previous broadcasts, that a watch, the first watch of the night, second watch of the night, third watch of the night, and the fourth watch of the night. And I told you, and I repeat, and I'm doing exactly what God, I'm not even trying to reason with you. I am just simply, in the name of Almighty Yahweh, telling you, this is the truth. Jesus is coming. Can you prove that, Brother Stair? The only proof that I can present to you is that I am still alive in this body, which I must shortly put it off to confirm the testimony that I have spoken. And I've told you how I will do that, or how God will help me to do it, to lay down my life for my friends, the friends, the ones who have done the will of God. And that's just a few, not very many. So, a watch. 1,000 years is a day. 500 years is 12 hours. 12 hours in a day, 12 hours in the night. That's the way God set up the time. No matter what the world tells you, 12 hours in a day or constitutes a day and 12 hours a night. And there is a watch. The first watch of the night is from 6 until 9 p.m. The second watch is from 9 to midnight. And the third watch is midnight until 3. And the fourth watch is from 3 until 6. I remember my father, he was a night watchman. And he would go to work at midnight. He had the midnight shift. Some of you people know about things like that, the watchman, what time of night. And what a watchman does, I used to go with my dad when I was a boy, what a watchman does that he has rounds. He goes around the place that he is watching, and he has certain places where he would punch a clock, or he would mark that he was there. That I went to the west side, or I went to the north side, or I went to this place at a certain time, and he would mark it, so he could prove that, and have proof that he was doing his job. He just didn't go into a place and sit down and sit there for 8 hours. No, he would have to every hour. He'd have to make his round, and he would mark his round by the hour, and he would signify he had been at his post. Watchmen were of the night. Well, I believe that I'm a watchman. I believe that there are others who have watched, and so we coordinate and we talk about where we are in the night. That's why you're hearing not many, but a few telling you that the United States is going to be destroyed. It is in the process. That's the first thing that God did when he began to elevate me into a position of speaking to the world and declaring to you that this is the last generation and the last time. Well, my words are coming home to roost. How much longer can it be? Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Not the angels, neither the Son, but, listen now, but the Father only. The Father only what? The Father only what? The Father knows, always has known, from the beginning of time, when it would end. He created it. He limited himself to a measure of time. 6,000 years to finish his work. and 7,000 years to accomplish his purpose for which he made man and set up this earth. Now, I've talked about that many times. And in order to get himself known among men and his purpose and his intent, he has given an understanding of time, and that understanding is, why did he use time? He uses time so we will know where we are in his plan or purpose. In Romans 8:28, it says it like this: for we know that all things, all the things that happens to us, all the things that come down, all the things that takes place, for we know that all things work together for good to them which are called of God, and to them which are the called, and they were called according to his purpose. He had a purpose in calling you and me. He had a purpose in choosing whom he will and saving who he will. And he will save who he will because he must do what he said he would do. Now, measure of time. Be not unwise. Understand time. When you're talking about the day and the hour, you're talking about measures of time. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. When you're talking about time, you're talking about a measurement. And as you understand God's measurement, remember Almighty Yahweh said that my ways are not your ways. I don't measure time the way you do. I don't see things the way you see them. I don't do things the way you expect me to do them. I don't think the way you think. He said, your ways are not my ways. You know what he said? Huh? And he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is my way above your ways. Jesus said one time, he said, my kingdom's not of this world. I don't do things like the world does it. And the world don't understand what I'm doing. And the world comprehended it not. Light came into the dark, into the world, and the world comprehended it not. They couldn't understand this unusual manner of a man being sent to save man, and save man from what? You know, a man didn't have any idea that he even needed to be saved. And then God set up a plan, a predetermined plan, by which men could be convinced of sin and convinced that they have a Savior and need one. In the hour in which you and I live in right now, the most devastating thing upon the face of the earth is that men have grieved the Holy Spirit and resisted Almighty Yahweh to the point where he has just given up. My spirit no longer, he says, will strive with man. And so most people today are continuing on in their darkness and using all of their excuses for not getting ready to meet God because of, you know, we don't know. Nobody knows. However, in order to preserve his integrity, Almighty Yahweh has chosen Noah's and Job's and elect and his people that he's chose that he would overwhelmingly manifest himself to, convince them of their sin, persuade them of his love and willingness to forgive, whereby he could get them to submit to him to work out his purpose and intent in the life or upon this earth. What is man? Why, that's what God chose to use to show himself strong, both in the destroying of humanity and in the saving of his people. Now, let's go back to this business of nobody knows. I want to say it to you again. The scripture tells us in the very verse that most of you use as a willingly ignorant understanding of the times. Nobody knows. There ain't nobody that knows. Well, all I can say, and I say it before Almighty Yahweh, that everything that we do not know is because we do not want to know. Because Almighty Yahweh has done everything in 6,000 years to make himself known among men. Now, that he is God. That's the first thing he did when he created Adam and Eve. He had to come and make himself known to them that he was God. And from the very beginning, men were told that they were created by God. And men from the very beginning knew that there was a creator, God. And when they knew God, or knew about God, they would not give him glory and honor and worship as God. They literally became vain in their imagination and said, I'll just serve my own God, or I'll make my own God. I'll tell you, better still, I'll just serve me and I'll be God. Of course, we got that from the usurper, Mr. Lucifer himself, who was not content in being what God had created him. He just would not be content. He began to wax wanton. You know, he said to Eve, you know why God doesn't want you to eat of that tree? He knows. Yes, sir. God knows. He knows the day you eat of that tree, you'll receive knowledge of all things. And you'll learn how to use knowledge for both good and evil. And that's exactly what man did. They partook of this tree of knowledge. And then, because they disobeyed God, they started to use the knowledge of God for good or for evil. The first example of that is the story of Cain and Abel. They both received the knowledge that there was a God. They both received the knowledge that they had to worship God and serve God and present a sacrifice to God. They had the knowledge of what was acceptable to God. But Cain, he used the knowledge for evil and decided he would bring his own sacrifice, the one he chose that should be acceptable to God. And God rejected it. Bible said God had no respect for it. Now Cain, he got angry with God and slew his brother, who could have told him what he needed to do to have an acceptable offering. But he slew his brother. Now Abel, he also was told what God was requiring, and he brought a more excellent sacrifice. From that point on, when men would receive knowledge, they used it for good or for evil. And since they chose the way of evil, they brought sin abundantly, until almost everything man does today is evil. His lifestyle, the jobs he chooses, the children, the wives that he has. Yeah, remember the sin in Noah's day? And the sons of God, they chose wives. They said, I want that one. And then they said, I want that one. I want that one. And they did not use the knowledge that God also wanted them to have wives, but wives of his choosing that would be good for them. So, you see, my friends, from that point on, men would not acknowledge God's demands and commands and use the knowledge that he gave them for good. They actually used it for evil. How do you think they come up with all these gods and all these religions? Because they know there's a God. They have the knowledge that there is a God. So they don't want to accept or use the knowledge of the righteous God. of the holy God, so when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what? Professing themselves to be wise. Wise in their own conceit, in their own iniquity. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshiped the creature more than the creature.